What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we're super excited to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be doing a CTN, which is Cruise the News. And this is kind of where we go check out all the juicy forum topics and latest news in pickleball. So let's get into it.
Everything you want is right here. We gon' give them what they came for. We gon' take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
All right, let's jump right in here. So you've probably heard by the time this podcast comes out, but all the buzz right now is surrounding Andre Daescu. And Andre Daescu is a professional pickleball player, and he was recently suspended for a foreign substance found on his pickleball paddle.
During the MLP, correct?
Right. So it happened a little while ago, but it's taken him a while to do all the testing and stuff. But here's what happened. He was suspended from the PPA Tour and MLP for 60 days, fined $50,000, and placed on probation for a year.
50,000 bones.
Pretty intense. So it was alleged at first, and then it was confirmed that he did apply a substance. I don't believe it's been reported exactly what that substance is, but he applied a substance to make his paddle more sticky. And he actually recently released a statement today. He kind of, you know, was silent for the first little bit, and he released a statement today. And this is what he said. He said, "I'm pained by the recent events. This is an unfortunate mishap. I would never cheat. There was no intent on using the paddle in question during competition. It was mistakenly submitted for testing. The paddle has never been used in competition. The UPA, or the United Pickleball Association, which is the new governing body for the PPA and the MLP, has rules and policies. Paddle testing is the player's responsibility. I will abide by their decision." So kind of what Andre is saying is, yes, there was a substance on the paddle. Was it ever used in a game? No. So he claims that it was never used in an actual competition, that he would never cheat. Yet the standard has to be set here somewhere. The line had to be drawn to set the standard for players moving forward. So my first question to you, $50,000. 60-game suspension.
Where 60 you game?
60-day, sorry.
60-day.
Where he's not receiving, you know, airtime for his sponsor. I don't know what's going to happen with his sponsors. He can't win prize money. And then in addition to that, you know, he's got the $50,000 and the 60 days, and he's on probation for a year, which I haven't really seen what the details of the probation are, but mm-hmm. I would guess that if he has any sort of repeat offense, he'll be penalized much worse. So do you think the punishment that was dished out for Andre Daescu was fair? Why or why not?
I don't know. I'm like not the person to ask this to. I think it's intense, but also I think I think that UPA is trying to set a precedent of like, we can't have cheating. And this has been a thing, not just with the paddles, but pros have brought up the line calls and, you know, the there's no, what's it called, steroid testing and drug testing and all this stuff. So, pickleball has been so unregulated for so long. And now there's real money in the sport, big, big, big dollar signs in the sport.
Right.
And so do I think it's like pretty intense? Yeah. But do I think that they're also trying to push regulations? Yeah. And so Am I for having regulations in the sport? Absolutely. Do I think that it's that intense? I don't know. It's hard to tell, right? Because the claim is it's never been used in a match, but I'm like, well, has it been used in other matches? Like,
right,
is like, on,
is, he, on, is he just using it in rec play?
Yeah, is it rec play? Like, where is it? There's just so much unknown, right? We don't even know what it is.
Right.
So it's hard to say, like, is it fair or not? I'm at the end of the day, I'm glad it's getting regulated. It's sad because I personally am a huge Andre fan.
Yeah.
I think he's so,
he's had a lot of success recently too, which is unfortunate because that's going to raise some question marks, going to put some asterisks by some wins and all that comes with that. Now, I think the unfortunate thing is that he did come out, though he did come out and confirm that there was a paddle that was manipulated, mm-hmm. he is also saying, I never cheated. So I think that's where it's a little interesting. If he were to come out and say, you know, yes, I cheated, I don't think people would think that this punishment was too harsh. But mm-hmm. I think there are people out there in the general public that do think this was a little bit of an intense, you know, punishment because he's claiming that it was never used in a match. Now, can we exactly confirm that? I don't know. But that's also just what he's saying.
And I also wonder, like, well, then why was it even submitted? You know, like,
yeah, I saw.
Was it just a mistake? You know, like,
I saw a pretty funny comment, and somebody said he took that play right out of Yola's book because Yola basically said the same thing, like, oh, we didn't mean to submit that paddle.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so Andre just he took the play right out of Yola's book and just blamed it on the wrong paddle was accidentally submitted. Or
yeah, so it's just hard. Like I said, I'm a huge Andre fan. I still am a huge Andre fan. I just think, why were you putting stuff on your paddle anyway? You know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you could speculate. Here's the thing. Like you, I've heard from pros and I've heard from other people that are in the sport that Andre is an incredibly nice guy.
Absolutely.
I've never seen him, you know, do anything questionable on the court. So it's kind of interesting that it's coming from him and not mm-hmm. somebody that's a little bit more like outspoken and crazy. Like if this would have happened to like Julian Arnold, I think people would have been like, oh yeah, that's like in line with his brand. He's kind of edgy, you know, like
all the love to you, Julian.
Yeah. But like I'm saying, Andre's like known as like this big friendly giant, you know, like, so I think it's very interesting that it happened to him.
And here's the reality. And you and I were talking about this off air, but we were just like, how many people are doing things that you never even hear about, right? Like, I wonder how many pros or low-level pros or pros that don't get a lot of airtime, you know, are doing things that...
Right, yeah. It's kind of like he's starting to have success.
He's having success.
He's stepping into the spotlight. You know? He's on a bigger stage.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I mean, what's happening at the low-level pro or the high-level amateur level?
Right. Like, what's happening at 5-0?
Yeah. No
regulations in 5-0.
Yeah, I don't know. We could speculate a little bit. I mean, I know like I talked to you a little bit about, you know, the big, you know, there's been things that have happened in baseball where, you know, back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a big scandal with people corking bats and then pine tar became a big issue. Basically, they regulated that, you know, pitchers can't have pine tar anywhere on their body, on their glove, on their hat to, you know, have a better grip on the ball. But it's actually a rule that batters can have up to 18 inches of pine tar above the handle, but the pine tar is not in a place where it's contacting the ball. And so it does make me wonder, like, did Andre like have this sticky substance to, you know, for his grip? And then he was like, oh, I'm just going to see what it's like putting it on my paddle. Like, it would make sense why you would have a sticky substance, like if you needed like rosin or something, you know, to grip the paddle because they get sweaty and they kind of slip. But I don't know. I haven't heard that from him. That's just speculation. It's just interesting to see. I think this is another interesting point is this is like UPA just got established. Mm-hmm. This is like their first big move. This happened right after the PPA and MLP established the UPA. And they're trying to set the standard for cheating in the sport. They're trying to say, hey, if you cheat under the UPA's guidelines, you will be punished. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's very important to have that. Like you said, pickleball is still very unregulated. And if we want this legit to be a sport in the Olympics, if we want this to legit, you know, continue, we need to start drawing lines and creating stricter regulations. So it's interesting.
Do you think it's a fair punishment?
To me, honestly, the 60 days and the probation, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. I think the 50 grand,
50 bones,
kind of like
50 bones, man.
Because here's the thing. I mean, I also don't know the details of Andre's contract.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how much he's making, but like 50 grand is quite a bit of money, I think, for any pickleball player to get fined. So yeah, like, this isn't like LeBron got fine 50 grand. This is Andre Dayescu.
Right.
So I think that the dollar sign was pretty shocking to me. And I was also kind of wondering if it was a bit of a money grab, if I'm honest.
Really?
Just because I'm like, who's collecting this 50 grand? Like, is this staying in the PPA MLP's pocket? Because obviously the UPA is under the umbrella of the PPA and the MLP. So this is money they don't have to pay Andre, or that Andre has to pay them. Anyways.
Yeah.
I think there's just some interesting, the big question mark to me was the 50 grand, but guys, we do want to hear from you. Do you think this punishment was fair? What are your thoughts on foreign substances on paddles and the regulations surrounding pickleball? Do you think regulations need, what needs to change? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. We'd love to hear too what you guys think.
So should we go to the next one, or do you have any other thoughts there?
Let's go to the next one. We're going to switch into rec play from pro pickleball.
Okay.
There is a thread and it's talking about pickleball etiquette on the rec courts. So there are a couple scenarios that this person is kind of referring to, and I'm going to kind of ask you about each one of them. So we'll go one at a time. So we're going to start with lobbing.
Mm.
Lobbing at rec play. So this person says, do not lob the ball to somebody with restricted mobility. Have you ever seen a player fall? I have, and sometimes the results are really bad. I've seen this happen with players trying to handle a lob. Do not lob senior citizens unless you know they can safely chase lobs. That's the first etiquette point. So I'm going to throw it to you.
I think the keys here are senior citizens, limited mobility. So
Have you ever lobbed a senior citizen? Be honest.
I don't remember the last time I played a senior citizen. I mean, maybe when I first started playing pickleball, I was getting beat by some older people, but I don't think the level that we kind of play at, I don't think that there's as many limited mobility senior citizens out than maybe on like the, you know, beginner side of rec night. So I mean, I don't really know, but
I don't think I could ever lob a sweet grandma or grandpa.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
I don't have
maybe
it
you have an upcoming tournament and you're working on your lob, but it can't be about like beating them. It's got to be about like your game getting better. But I will say that the lob's an interesting shot for me because it does frustrate me to play against it sometimes. I didn't come from tennis, so I didn't practice these big overheads, you know, like I think that, you know, whenever I get lobbed by a team that's doing it really well, it is kind of frustrating.
Oh, it's a great shot.
But I also think I have a good lob and I just forget to do it, you know? So like, I think the lob in general is like a fun shot that needs to get used more. But I think the key here is limited mobility, elderly. I'm probably going to steer clear from that one.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's probably good pickleball etiquette to stand by.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, if you're playing under these circumstances, I would say probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's a tournament, go for it.
Okay, next one. Do not hit the ball exclusively or mainly to weaker players. The stronger player came to play, not stand there like a dummy and observe the game. A prevalent concept is one improves by playing the stronger player.
So on this one, I don't necessarily think this falls under etiquette. This is like strategy. This is the game. It's a doubles game. And I think this is something we hear a lot, that players get targeted, the weaker player gets targeted. That's honestly just doubles pickleball. So if you consider yourself the better or stronger player, you have to figure out ways to get more involved, whether that be having a bigger serve that creates a shallower return that you can come up and do some damage with, or whether that has to do with you kind of changing up patterns, kind of changing up spacing on the court. There are ways to get involved, and I think that it's a strategy to win to target or to isolate a player, and that's part of what makes it fun is to figure out how to flip the script on the other team and start isolating them. So I think I don't think this is really bad etiquette. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think this necessarily falls under etiquette. I think there are multiple ways that you can look at this. I also think it kind of depends on like how your paddle system works, you know, if everybody rotates off or if winners stay. Because if winners stay, I'm like, there's a competitive part to it where it's like, well, you want to win, you know?
Right.
And so I'm all for like, yeah, hit to better players and get better. But I'm also for if I have to wait 45 minutes to get back in the game, I'm going to want to win the game, right? Even if it's rec play.
Kind of have to like consider the circumstances of the rec night, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Is it just like a smaller group, they're just having fun?
Right.
Is it like some sort of, you know, one, two on, two off type of like system?
Yeah, like if everybody's rotating, then sure, there's nothing really on the line, but.
But if you're like defending challenge.
That's what I'm saying.
Challenge court or something. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's a whole other topic.
Whole other topic. I don't think it's pickleball etiquette. I think it's, you can't, again, I don't think you can tell people how to play you. And I don't think people can tell you how to play them. I just don't think that's how sports works, you know?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. But I, guys, on this one, let us know what you think in the comments, because
I'd love to know.
I hear a lot of people that get like in the comments all
people
over
are frustrated about it.
All over social media, people don't like when players get targeted, which I get it, you know, as the player that's not getting targeted, that can be frustrating. But
it's the player that's not getting targeted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it for those because the people out there that are frustrated are those players.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like I get it, but I think that that's just the strategy of the game. We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball.
Next one is, don't try to hit your opponent with the ball, especially to their face. Duh. Does it make you feel better to do this and possibly hurt or injure someone? People can be badly injured when hit in the eye. Don't do this.
Ooh. I don't think
you're
it's
hesitating.
I don't think it's etiquette. I mean,
I'm shocked.
Here's the thing, like if the ball is like popped up and I have like a put away, I'm not going to try to hit the person.
That's what this is saying.
No, like I'm saying like there are times where it's strategic to aim at someone's body. That's all I'm saying. If the ball's like up in the air and I have full force coming downhill at the ball, I'm going to try to put the ball at the feet. It's a better place to hit anyways.
Yeah, okay, feet. Yeah.
But if like if there are certain times when it is advantageous to try to bag your opponent. Would you agree?
Oh my god.
Like there are certain speed ups that like you know the ball's going out, like you're trying to hit them because you're trying to create a pop up. And if you don't try to hit it at them or through them with pace, then they're going to counter it. So like, I don't know. I think that there's some strategy there, but I think if you, again, it probably depends on the level you're playing.
Yeah.
And it depends on where the ball is. Like, I'm not going to intentionally try to injure somebody. I think that's what this is saying. Like, people can get hurt. Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, we've talked about this on the podcast before. I've seen you get hit in the face multiple times.
You got
hit in the eye before, and that was kind of scary.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not out there to injure anybody.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is a strategy towards targeting.
Towards body bagging people.
Well, not even because you're trying to hit them, but because you're trying to create
a pop-up.
What do you think?
I think etiquette is you never try to hit somebody, especially in the face. I think that's terrible.
Like, I don't think anybody tries to hit anyone in the face.
Well, I think
it's usually an accident.
I don't think so either. That's the other thing. And here's my disclaimer. I do think it depends on your level, right? Like, I would never go body bag grandma or grandpa. Like, would never do that.
What if you're trying to defend challenge court?
Not even if I'm trying to defend challenge court.
What if it's a money ball tournament?
I'm not
You wouldn't body bag a GMAW?
I've never seen a GMAW play a competitive Moneyball tournament.
They're out there, I bet.
You know what? I bet there are. There are some like freaking legit.
I do think it'd be fun to play a split age tournament. That kind of sounds fun.
I want to. I actually know someone. I actually know someone that I'm going to partner with for it.
Really? You have to tell me about it after the pod. I will. All right, let's get back on topic.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. So again, I would never like body bag. One, I would never aim for someone's face. Two, I would never body bag like someone that's not mobile or a senior citizen or any of that. But if I'm playing, no, I'm serious. If I'm playing high level rec, I love body bagging people in the sense of I love to attack people's bodies because it jams them up and it creates a lot of errors. So, but
do you
have a count? Yeah, I keep track with some people.
Body count. Okay.
So anyway, I think it's really inappropriate or appropriate depending on your audience and who you're playing against.
Okay. Are there any more etiquette ones?
Yeah.
All right. Give me another one.
All right. this one is don't humiliate the other team by winning 11-0. Then jump for joy and high five your partner. This happened to me a couple years ago. My partner and I were playing against a far superior opponent and we lost and they loudly celebrated. Truthfully, it didn't bother me, but I simply lost my respect for them.
Okay. First part, don't beat a team 11-0.
Yeah. Just like that's the whole thing. Like,
don't beat a team 11-0. That has nothing to do with etiquette. The last part has something to do with etiquette. And that's like, I do get annoyed if people, when people win, or even if they like get a point and they like yell and celebrate obnoxiously, like I'm getting like, celebrate, have your moment. You pickled somebody. Maybe that's their first time ever pickling somebody. But yeah, I think please beat someone 11-0. Like that's cool. But like, just how are you going to respond to that? I think that's what makes it poor etiquette, is the way that you respond, realizing that it doesn't feel good to get beat 11-0. So maybe like if you win 11-0, it would be better etiquette just to tap your paddle and go on to the next one, you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of with you.
If you just won like a gold medal or something, okay. But yeah, like, I think
it's like a rec game.
Yeah. If you beat someone 11-0, like, I think you should probably just
say good game.
Good game.
Paddle tap, you know?
Yeah.
Be a good sport. Yeah. I'm with you. I think, you know, I always thought when I was a lower level rec player, really trying to get better at pickleball, and I would play with higher level players, I didn't want them to take it easy on me. Like I actually wanted to see where I was on the like spectrum, right? I wanted to see where I was on the scale. And I would often, if I felt like a team was kind of just giving me points or playing easy, like I hated that feeling. Like I didn't want to be pitied. Like I was like, no, like I want to, even if I'm going to get killed, I want to like see where I'm at. And so I guess that's the mentality I take into it now. If I'm on the higher level team on a court, you know, I want to play people how I normally play. Now it's different, you know, if we're taking like our family out or something like that and they like never play pickleball, then you know, I'm like wanting them to actually like play a rally out, because you know, that's part of the
perspective
fun.
It's just
so I think that's kind of where I'm at. I do agree with you though, like if you like pommel a team, I don't think you like freak out and celebrate like super loud right in front of them or whatever. Like, again, it's rec play, so, you know, I don't know why you would celebrate so obnoxiously, but I think, I don't agree with the, you can't beat people 11-0, but again, that's just me. I'd love to know what you guys think about all of these situations, whether it's the lobbing or body bagging or 11-0. Would love to know what you guys feel like is appropriate rec play etiquette.
Do we have one more, or is that
it?
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, even guys, if there's other things that come to mind, obviously this is just from a post that we found, but if there's other things that come into mind of like etiquette that you've learned that you think, you know, you should, every pickleball player should abide by, let us know that in the comments as well. All right, shall we go to the next one?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm not sure how long. This one might be more brief. We'll see. But news just came out that the UPA is not going to allow the Gen 3 paddles to be played this weekend at the Texas Open. So why this is kind of important is because, you know, sorry, I'm just pulling it up here. Why this is kind of important is because, you know, obviously the USPA, the USAPA, recently banned the Gen 3 paddles. We talked about that on a previous episode about the, you know, the paddles being too hot, but this new governing body was formed. And so we didn't really know what was going to happen with them. Were they also going to ban them just because they're not on the USA approved website? What's going to happen? What are the PPA and MLP going to do? So all the players that are attending this tournament got a, sorry, I'm not sure why this is not pulling up, but all the players that attended this tournament got an email basically saying Gen 3 paddles aren't accepted.
And this is amateur as well, correct?
Yeah. So I was trying to pull it up right now, but I don't know why it's not working. We'll link this in the comments or in the description of the video. But Quang Duong was outspoken about this. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
So basically he was saying like, oh, this is crazy that like with such short notice that they ban these. Like, what are players going to do that have been practicing with these? I know we have a friend who was like playing with this paddle. He was playing with the Tyson Magnus Gen 3 thing. And he was playing with it for like a couple weeks. And then right the day before a tournament, the tournament director said that he played in, I think last weekend, the tournament director said, you can't use it. And he was mad. Yeah. And he won some games, but I don't think he did as good as he think he could have done. So like, I don't know. Basically, Quang Duong was saying like the players are... what are they going to do? And also he mentioned that there could be potential like lawsuits that come from like YOLA.
Oh, wow.
I was trying to pull it up, but I don't know why the article's not loading.
I didn't know there'd be lawsuits. People's getting dramatic.
Yeah. So basically Quang Duong was saying like, it's going to be dramatic. He said, I think he said, get your popcorn ready. So what do you think?
Yeah. So they've been playing with, you know, these paddles for a long time. And, you know, I mean, I feel for him, trust me, changing paddles last minute, that would really suck to try to adjust to. But I'm like, oh, I wonder if this weekend we are going to see some losses from these players that have been used to playing with these paddles, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Like, it'll be, you know, I think a big talk in the pro scene right now is Ben Johns and Federico Stackshard keep going back and forth on like the number one standings for singles. But obviously, I know Ben, I don't think Ben uses the new generation anyways.
No, he doesn't.
But like, will Fed continue to have the same results he's been having? What will the players, you know, how will the players respond to having to change their paddle last minute?
Mm-hmm.
I know like years ago, I was playing with a paddle and like the day of the tournament, my paddle handle broke.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And I had to like pick up a random paddle and play. And like, I hated it because I just...
Yeah, it's so hard. It's really hard to adjust to a different paddle. You almost feel like, why does this feel so different? Like,
yeah,
it shouldn't feel just like a paddle, but they play different. They really do.
So like, what do you think? Like, I kind of saw this coming. Like, I kind of thought, you know, the UPA, they're probably going to ban these because the USAPA already banned them. And if they don't, they look like they're more lenient. Again, I think they're trying to set standards. They're trying to draw lines, create stricter regulations. So I kind of thought this was going to happen, but it's interesting that, you know, a new governing body's been formed and the paddles were banned and the players were given such short notice.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Like, I mean, I think all across the board, we're seeing this theme of pickleball being like, okay, we need to have some rules. Like, we need to have some regulations. And things are happening quick, which is good, but it's also hard, right? Because these players have been using these paddles. I mean, even the other weekend we were in New York and the gearbox got put on the not approved list.
Yeah, for the USAPA. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, all across the board, players are now having to adjust to having rules and regulations that weren't in place previously. And at some point, this was going to happen. You know, I'm kind of reminding myself that, like, at some point, this was all going to come to an end in the sense of like, we're going to have rules. We're going to have regulations. Do I think it stinks for the players affected? Yeah, I do. Like, do I also think that we need rules and regulations? Yeah. So like
it stinks for the players that are affected, but you've also gotten to play how many tournaments with like a
that's the other thing.
Juicy paddle.
Right. Like, juicy paddle. Right.
I kind of feel worse for the players that, you know, haven't gotten this advantage even for like
a short little bit.
But I think it's pickleball's just growing.
Yeah.
We're all evolving. You know, we're all evolving. The sport is evolving.
We're all of us.
We're all evolving. But yeah, I think that, yeah, like you said, I think this day was coming. We knew that there was going to be more strict regulations that came into play. Be interesting to see how it all shapes out. What will paddles look like in 2025? I've also heard some rumors that starting at the beginning of 2025, there's going to be some new regulations introduced that are already kind of being refined right now. So we'll see kind of where it goes. I think this is just part of the growing pains of the sport. So
yeah, I agree. So now we're going to go into our Q&A section of the podcast. Remember, you guys, if you have any questions, this is a time where we'd love to see them. So go ahead and comment below any questions that you guys have, and you might be featured on our next Q&A. But I think Barrett has some questions for us.
Yeah, we actually did find somebody that looks like they've been a faithful viewer of the pod. They actually have released multiple questions that I think we've just missed. So we want to get to a couple of those today, and we're going to hop right into it. So one of our questions that came in was from the Pickleball Pet Peeves video. So if you guys haven't seen one of our first episodes, first couple episodes, we talked about pickleball pet peeves. Today, I believe you mentioned people in rec play that just assume they want to stack. And so,
or mixed.
Mixed because the guy's like, oh, I have my forehand. But you're better than, anyways, go back and watch it. But this guy said from the pickleball pet peeve video, would you be peeved? Which I like that. Would you be peeved if you were playing with a lefty guy who assumed to stack in rec play?
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. I haven't had this happen much. Okay. This maybe only happened to me twice. And one time the guy was like a really, really good player, so I didn't mind stacking at all. The other time was like, I was like, oh man, I wish they would have asked. I think it's just good etiquette to ask, unless it's like you're playing high level, like mixed, because most high level mixed play is stacked. I think if it's just open rec play, I think it's probably just good etiquette to ask. Am I going to make a big deal about it? Probably not, but I don't know. I think it's
so. This guy's kind of just asking, like, since this guy's a lefty, like you're going to be playing the left instead of the right. So
yeah,
is it the same? And I'm like, I kind of see what he's saying, but I also see what you're saying too.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's good to ask.
I think it's just good etiquette to ask.
I think part of the reason it was a pet peeve for you though is because like sometimes you're just better than the guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's when it's hard. Is it's like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways,
good question.
He actually the same guy gave us another question that we missed. But we're going to cover it right now. He says, from the video on line calls, which I believe was our most recent release a week ago, he basically said, as far as the line calls in rec play, what if it's a challenge court and there's a difference between sitting down or staying on during a busy night? Money might not be on the line, but my time is. Does that make it different? Because I think we kind of discussed, like,
we're like, it's rec play.
If there's money on the line, then
tournament, you know,
or it's different. But in this scenario, this guy's like, money's on the line, but my time's on the line.
You know what? That's freaking real, because we played a court where if you lose, you have to get back in the line, and the line can be like 45 minutes long. So I feel that. And that's hard, especially if you feel like the line call is like, whoa, I feel like I got gypped. But I mean, at some point, I feel like you can check with your opponent and you'd be like, hey, like, are you sure? You know, are you sure? I think it's okay for you to question it. And even, I don't love this, but even advocate for like, can we do it over? You know, like if they're unrelenting.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's like, such a tricky situation.
You want to put them in like a ball don't lie scenario.
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, I think basically what we had talked about in a previous episode was like, if it's just for fun, you know, if there's no, if it's not high stakes, if there's nothing on the line, then like you shouldn't be.
Don't argue.
You shouldn't be arguing crazy, you know, unless it's so, so clear, like feet, you shouldn't be arguing line calls. But this guy's saying there is something on the line. I don't want to, which I get. I don't want to
get
go,
it.
Yeah. I don't want to go wait, put my paddle back in the paddle rack and wait another, lose the game because of this line call and go wait another 30, 40 minutes till I play again. I think you approach it more like a tournament, you know, you approach it more like, there is something on the line. I get that. So I think that's okay to challenge a line call.
Challenge it and, you know, see if they're at least at the very least able to just do the point over.
I will say I have seen some people like almost get in fights.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Like physical?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think you were there, but like I've seen people like, and that's what, we're talking about. Like we're all out here to have fun, you know?
Don't get in fights over line calls.
Like, well, there was, it started with line calls and then these two started just going at it and people were talking about each other's like occupations and like it was just it was the relevance and
holy moly,
and it was wild. So
that's crazy.
I think the point is, you know, just to have some fun.
Yeah, don't get in fights, but you can challenge a line call. Do it over.
Maybe just work on, go to the mirror and recite how you're gonna challenge a line call. Work on, you know, work on it in private. Perfect your line call dispute. So that it's polished and ready.
We're digging ourselves a hole.
Okay, guys, we're going to stop right there. well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in on this episode of the Pickleball Connection. If you have questions, please submit them below and we'll try to get to them on a future
comment
pod.
On the YouTube channel.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.